Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, and I am joined by a very special guest, a man that many of you in the Central Ohio wrestling game will recognize, the name Big White. How you doing, Big White?
I don't know if they'd actually recognize it. They might laugh about if they heard that name. Yeah. What's happening, Johnny O?
Not much. Welcome to the PVD Cast.
You know, it's the next up-and-coming thing here in Columbus, and I thought, well, I might as well jump on. I haven't done anything with wrestling for a while, and I got the itch, and I was like, let my voice be heard a little bit, and here we are.
All right. Well, we'll recap some of our history together, if that's all right with
you. Hey, I'm down.
In a little bit, because I have to take care of a couple quick house-cleaning items. First off, a frequent emailer, if that is such a word, to the podcast, let me caution. He commented on the last edition when I was talking about Zeb Coulter and Jack Swagger, their new gimmick of being a Tea Party type of group. He mentioned there's nothing funnier than racist slash bigot Glenn Beck getting all butthurt and angry that the WWE is painting teabaggers to be racist and bigoted. Fantastic. Beck is literally insane. I support anything and everything the WWE can do to make him look like the washed up tinfoil hat wearing ass clown he is.
That would took a lot of thought. He must... why don't you just tell us how he really feels?
Well, again, he's not holding back.
Not at all.
That was a great email from Lemmy Caution, which... You're a big fan, aren't you, of Jack Swagger and the Zeb Coulter?
Well, I like it because you and I, we were talking in the green room before we came on, and you made mention of... It kind of has the same... There's a lot of similarities to the origins. If there was an origins of the Big White character... there's some similarities there, kind of the what started it all, I guess.
Okay.
I guess I enjoy it. I like the YouTube clips, to me. I think that's funny, and it's slightly ingenious. It maybe jumped the shark a little bit, but I still enjoy it. I mean, heck, in a dig up...
Dutch Mantel.
Yeah. I can think of his name. I think of the articles he had in the back of WOW Wrestling Magazine. I couldn't think of Dirty Dutch's name. Or when they went looking for Cactus Jack. Right, he was one of those guys.
Oh, he was.
Dead Eye Dick,
I believe, yeah. Uh-huh.
Anyways, yeah. But yeah, I couldn't think of his name there, my bad. I like it, though. I give it two thumbs up.
Do you want to talk about the origins of Big White?
Maybe a little later. I don't want to bore these people. They're already probably shut it off now that they heard my voice.
They're like, not this guy, click. All right, the next item for house cleaning, Jimmy Shane. No shame, Jimmy Shane. A man who, by the way, I did beat once in a dance-off.
He has extremely large feet.
Yeah, yes, he does.
I was lucky enough to go down to the practice facility there, and old Big Buns, Jeff Cannon, was throwing a class, and those were some large Frankenstein boots, like boots that he had. Like he should be from the Addams Family or something.
Well, Mr. Shane, his attitude does not always agree with my personal philosophy, but he did email me and asked which indie wrestlers would be which Green Lanterns. All right, so if you're familiar with the
it's slightly out of my realm.
Okay, the Darkest Night, brightest Day. So there was a variety of different Green Lanterns in the storyline.
Not to offend anybody, but didn't Green Lantern just come out of the closet?
One of them, yes. There's been multiple Green Lanterns.
I'm anxious to hear which one you say is that one, so let's go on.
Okay, so you have red, you have orange, you have yellow, you have green, blue, indigo, violet, black, and white. So those are the different colored lanterns you could have.
Okay.
I don't mean colored as in like a racist slur either. Sorry. That's the different colors that there can be in the Green Lantern. Then each color has a particular emotion that goes with them. Red, obviously, rage. Orange, avarice. Yellow, fear. Green, willpower. Blue, hope. Indigo, compassion. Violet is love. Black is death. And white is life. So I've compiled my list for Mr. Shane.
Okay.
So here we go. In the order that he wrote them down. The Red Lantern, it would be genuine Jock Samson, because that dude's pissed off all the time.
24/7.
Yeah, it's nonstop. So there you go.
I think in his dreams he's pissed off, too.
I think so, too. So Jock Samson would be the Red Lantern. The Orange Lantern would be Robbie Starr, because he's incredibly jealous, and he's full of greed, of wanting the spotlight, ever since he split from Matt Mason.
I see. I can see that.
Okay. Yellow, Chance Prophet. Because he scares the shit out of me. So, I mean,
I'm sure he looks in the mirror, he probably scares the shit out of himself.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. Green, willpower. Okay. I'm going to go with Gregory Iron. Because, I mean, it's well documented, his handicaps, if you will. And the fact that dude even competes, let alone competes now, this is like, what, year 5 or 6 for him in the biz?
Quite amazing. Quite amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. So I'm going to say the Green Lantern would be Gregory Iron. I had a lot of problems with Blue, because it's supposed to be Hope. So what indie wrestler would go with that? That's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah, I haven't really sunk my teeth into indie wrestling that much as a whole lately, so I don't know who I could go with.
This is tough. I don't like this one.
Unless it's somebody that has no hope, like Mike Dodge. Like, there's no hope for him. Mikey D, there's no hope. If you're listening to this, you have no hope, bud. None.
Oh, that's it. He's going to come back on here now. He'll want a rebuttal. Okay, I went with Hope. I went with Colt Cabana. Though I know technically he's made it to the WWE, but he's now in the indies, and I hope that he would make it back up to that level of success.
And his YouTube show is pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I enjoy that, too.
Yeah, I won't say that doing a wrestling podcast was my original idea. I stole it from him. But anyways, Indigo. I've said it many times, it's Jeff Cannon. Because, I mean, I think that he's a compassionate dude. He is, I've seen many instances backstage where, quite frankly, he should have told somebody, fuck off, and he doesn't.
Can we say that? Can we say words like that on
here? Yeah, sure.
It's a podcast.
It's my podcast. Anything goes.
People that know me know I don't cuss, so I just want to make sure I don't use any swear words or anything. So, that's fine.
I'll pick up the slack.
I agree with
for
that. I agree, when your ass cheeks are as large as his, you have to be compassionate anyways.
And by the way, I think he would be the Hal Jordan of Green Lanterns, by the way.
Now, is that the one that was homosexual?
No, that was Kyle Rayner.
So it was even a totally different...
Yeah.
So which one of these would be Kyle Rayner?
Well, hold on, we'll get to that. I still have two more here. Violet Love. Okay, I'm going to throw this out there. I'm going to pick indie wrestler Leva Bates. Because any wrestler that makes their gear match comic book superheroes... And she's an attractive woman, too, so that, there you go. You gotta love that.
I know you do. There's debris around your computer to prove that, like these tissues. Sorry.
No, that's not. My bad. That's not accurate at all.
Sorry.
That's not accurate at all. Black Lantern, Death. I'm gonna go with Jason Dragon.
Okay.
I mean, do I have to elaborate why?
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I think that sometimes... Okay, most of the time... His matches are kind of, they're deadly. Deadly to watch. Deadly to sit through.
Well, I would say, I think a good one for that would be Cage, because his career died about as quick as it started. And so, his career's dead.
Wow.
Why not?
Cage?
Yeah.
That's a name I haven't thought about in forever.
You didn't even bring that up a couple weeks ago, did you?
No, I totally forgot about him.
Yeah.
He was a Silver Gun Superman.
It's easy to forget, I guess.
He had more nicknames than anybody else that I ever remember.
Well, he had about 8 nicknames, which is about the same amount of moves that he had, so he was...
Well, that's true.
You know. But anyways, I digress.
Anywho. And then White, which indicates life, the White Lantern would be Bull Miller. Because he's been around for a long, long time. He's a lifer, if you will. See what I did there?
Yeah, he has been around a long time. He's seen, a couple different centuries come about?
Maybe.
Didn't he train with Frank Gotch, or...
I think so.
Okay.
Stanislaus Zabisco, I believe.
I have no idea what you just said, but let's go on with it.
Anyways, all right, well, that's the house cleaning items. So there you go.
And speaking of house cleaning, I must say, for a heterosexual male, I walk in this place is spotless.
No.
I was expecting to pull up and see a van, you know, maybe brown in color, no windows, maybe some fuzzy carpet or something like that, but...
There's no wood paneling in this house.
Okay, you definitely threw me a curveball there when I came in for this. But the green room was very nice. It was very well catered.
First, this is a side note, because I know Mikey D is going to call you out on this. The green room, per se, is really not green. Because if we were actually in a room in this house that was green, it would be the bathroom, and that would be weird.
Not for me. I spend a lot of quality time. Actually, I thought of quite a few storylines for PWC back there, which is ironic because PWC ended up in the toilet.
It did.
Yeah.
It did. All right. Well, let's take a trip down memory lane, shall we?
Go right ahead. That's what I'm here for. We've got plenty of gas in the tank.
All right. So I recall the first time that we actually met. You can check my memory on this. I believe it was at Zanesville for FIW. It was...
Dog. Okay.
It was the Police Athletic League building.
Yes,
I which was in a shitty part of Zanesville.
There's a little irony. Is there any part of Zanesville that's not shitty?
Well,
just saying. Sorry.
Okay. I mean, so I remember that. I remember we started talking because you wore a Green Lantern shirt, by the way.
Yeah, I did. Which one did that stand for back then? Are you trying to segue into the whole?
You're gay? No.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
No, right. I wasn't. I was just
not to offend anybody out there.
No, I think because that's how we started talking. I said something about nice shirt, and then that's how we started talking, I believe.
Yeah, I can. I kind of was a mark for those type of shirts back then. I still am, I guess. Like, I love my Thundercats.
What shirt are you wearing like now? Raw? Is that a Raw is War shirt?
I'm wearing a Jericho shirt. I'm sorry. I'm doing a mark show. I might as well mark out while I'm...
Did you see the shirt I'm wearing?
Yes. Yes, I did. And it's... Looked like he did a very good job in laundry with it, too. This person is immaculate. John Orlando, he has this whole thing down. But go on.
So I think that was the first show that we met.
Okay.
All right. And I don't remember anything else really about that show. Was that the show where Coyote duct taped a bunch of light tubes together? Or was that another
show? Or was that the show where, hey guys, it's Eric. You know Eric?
Yes, yeah. I'm aware.
Dwarfinator.
Gave him that name, thief. Anyway, where he went running under the ring and he busted his head open, or was that a different time?
I think that was a different time.
Okay, I don't know. That was great, though, because his head, he wears like a size 8 3/8 fitted hat on that small body. Looks like a bowling ball. And he busted that thing wide open the hard way. That was pretty sweet. Anyway, I can't remember. That facility was tiny, though.
I think at that time it was PWC, because I remember I showed up at that building the time I opened the door, and they were running Marcus Dillon, Matt Mason were training some rookie, and the kid like fucking collapsed. As soon as I opened the door, like he was over by the door, and he collapsed almost on me, and like went into like seizures. Who was that dude?
I can't remember that name.
But he went into seizures or something like that, and they were all, like, freaking out. They got him water, and then he came to or something. It scared the shit out of me.
Well, luckily he came to, because I think the next step was Paul was going to give him CPR. He didn't want that. A hair might have got caught in his throat. And we don't know where those lips have been. Let's be honest. Even he would laugh at that. Sorry.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was scared shitless for that. I thought the kid was going to die right there.
I don't know. There's some good times, though, in that building. There was, I'll tell you what, one of my fondest memories, and I had one of my favorite guys that's no longer with us. I was lucky enough to become friends with Chief Butnaka.
Yeah.
We worked a couple shows with him down there, and that dude, that's one of the, when I think of memories out of Zanesville, for some reason, I think of him. That guy was a cool guy, and it was very sad that he passed away so young, and that's one of the memories I think I'll take. I don't know, I just kind of get a little weird with that, but I definitely always think about him down there. We actually had some decent matches. I wish I'd have became like more prepared, because as the hoarder that I am, I think I still have the folders from that, and there were some cool shows that was ran out of there that nobody ever got to see, to be honest with you. Cool matches, either because video issues, multi-level marketing issues, whatever. Leafa Luca, whatever we're talking about here.
Leafa Luca? I don't know. Is that what you guys refer to it as?
There's all kinds of references. Anyways, between either the defunct organizations, there was definitely some good shows ran out of there.
Yeah. I do remember, though, what I was going with was I remember Coyote was going to do this light tube thing, and he had duct taped. It was like a fucking pyramid of light tubes. That was in Columbus. Was it?
Oh my god, the place that was over there for Westerville Road.
Oh, the VFRO.
Where I had to do, it was FIW. I did a hardcore match with him. Me, yeah. I'd make fun of Cage having 8. I had 7 moves. Anyways, and got dropped on my head by Brian Blade. That was awesome. Anyway, won't talk about that. And I choke slammed him through. You don't remember that?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I choke slammed. This was FIW. This is before the big turf wars had happened in Columbus, Ohio. But yeah, he built this elaborate thing all for me to put him through it. So that was pretty cool. That was when he was before he got angry. Let's see, he got very angry with Brady West at the fairgrounds at the Snuka show. But that's a whole other story,
too. I want to hear that story. But no, this one was... I don't know, because I do remember. It was at Zanesville, he built it, and I think it was Marcus Dillon.
It was Zanesville? Okay.
Yeah, Marcus was involved in it, and Marcus was like, I'm not throwing you through that. And, like, he totally, like... If my memory serves me correct, I think Marcus totally pissed all over the idea. I was like, I'm not going to throw you through that. I think he hurt his feelings. And I think it was a cage match of some sort. I think it was, like, Mason, Dillon, and Seal Hustla against Coyote... And I don't remember who the other
two... Maybe G-Mo?
G-Mo might have been involved, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Coyote was teaming with Cannon back then, too. They were hanging and banging or whatever they were...
Oh, yeah.
I forget it was a
bad name. Yeah.
Anyways, we've mentioned that name a lot in this conversation. Coyote?
We have.
I've heard it more in the last week because I hung out with Brady West. That name has been brought up more in the last week than I've heard in the last 5 years. Now, Ernest is my dog. But, yeah, it's just, man, that's crazy. Yeah, but he did something similar to that. He kind of did that because he had his hardcore chain.
Right, yeah.
I'm not sure what dumpster he found it behind. Painted it gold. And then that was his whole gimmick with that, which was a cool gimmick. It was different than a belt. That was pretty neat.
Yeah.
I remember. So that was during that whole time. But, yeah, he did it. Once when I, up at the...
V-Fro,
yeah. He made like an elaborate, reminded me of something I used to play with Capsella. Remember Capsella?
Yeah, I do.
Like something that you would build. It was elaborate. What podcast is going to have Capsella on it? No podcast anywhere. Anyway. And he built that and we did the gimmick where he went through it and stuff like that. And
I remember the V-Fro was also... For an FIW show, I show up, and it had like a giant... They had a poster out front when you first came in, and my name was on it. Like, down at the bottom, you know, also appearing Mace Parker, blah, 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 John Orlando.
Mace Parker reference. Write that one down, too. Nice. Nice.
But you weren't on the poster, and you were pissed. I remember.
Yes.
And for almost about 10, 15 minutes, I'm like... I don't know if I should say anything to him because he looks like he's really pissed off. Because you came in the back, I remember you going, hey, it's John Orlando, the guy that's on the poster. I've only been here a month. You're on the poster. I've been here for a long time. I'm not on the poster.
See, I have a way of being sarcastic. I don't know if anybody's ever noticed that or not. And I think it's probably more being sarcastic.
Well,
than hating.
I know. I got it.
But
got it.
That's why I contemplated on changing my wrestling name to Many More. Because I'll always, and then I'd be on every wrestling poster because it'd be. So-and-so, and many more.
Yeah.
So that way I would always be covered, but we never went that way.
Well, keep in mind, I got your sarcasm. Like, this is still early on in our, quote, relationship, end quote. As platonic as it's been.
Okay, I don't want to be one of them lanterns. I don't...
All right.
Okay, anyway.
Yeah, the V-Fro was awesome. I remember my friends come to see a show, they got lost. They couldn't find it.
It was behind that barbecue joint.
It was. It was in the worst part of town. It was on the corner of Cleveland and Ennis, wasn't it? In Columbus?
Westerville Road, I
think. Or Westerville Road in Cleveland, yeah. You're right.
Right down the road from good old Schottenstein's.
Yes, yes.
And it's still a very nice area over there, very scenic.
Uh-huh. Well, if you remember, there was like that Eagles that was a couple like miles up on the left. And my friends went to the Eagles. There was an Eagles right there on Westerville Road. And again, they walked in, and there's nothing but a bunch of old men playing like euchre. And they were like, is this where the wrestling show is? And they're like, we don't know what you're talking about, kid. And so then they finally drove down and found it.
Yeah, it was an interesting area.
Yeah, there was that strip club like right across the street too. That literally was like a house, wasn't it? Like it was called Divas or something.
If you
like
need
that?
To figure out where a strip club is, you don't need a GPS. You just email John Orlando. he can hook you up. I might know where the swingers joints are. I may not, but either way, we'll get you covered on that. Just send an email in for that.
So anywho. Big White, the character.
Yes.
Where'd that come from? True or false, you modeled it after Colonel DeBeers in the AWA.
It was a little similar. I had the nickname way before there was a big black or anything like that. Obviously, I'm not a small guy. It has to do something with my eating habits, not really my workout habits. But I just obtained the name Big White just through a couple people and yada yada. And anyways, so we just went, and I was like, well, let's kind of go forward. My original idea for Wrestling Gimmick was very lame. It was Tinseltown Spicer, obviously a takeoff of Hollywood Hogan,
yeah,
yada, yada, yada. So we did Backyard before Backyard was cool. I thought, whatever. Had a lot of fun. Matter of fact, we're right down the road. Give a shout-out to the Denny's Dome. Used to be right down the road here. We used to do the outdoor show, pissed off the old family that lived next door. It was great. Yeah. Anyway, so it went from that, went into the Big White character, started using that name as a wrestling name just to have some fun, along with some various other characters I've been blamed to play. Like, somebody wants to tie this Mr. Ninja guy to me. I don't know who the guy was, but somebody wants to tie that to me. I don't know. Whatever.
Mr. Ninja, wait a minute, was the bodyguard of Brady West, right?
I believe so. I think he did some work for Brady West, and then he had Madrock's personal security.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do remember
that. He worked for Jeremy Madrox, I think, too. I mean, that's just what I hear from when I watched on the shows, maybe seen somewhere on the internet. But, yeah, the Big White was kind of based off Little Colonel De Beers, but a little modern-day sarcasm, turned myself up a little bit. Couldn't really push the card too much. You get too Archie Bunker-esque, but we definitely had some fun with it.
Mm-hmm, most definitely.
Especially having some matches with Coyote and having an open forum on a wrestling hotline about Coyote, we definitely had some fun with that, too.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Anyway.
For those fans that don't know, you're also the man behind the Capital City Wrestling Hotline that ran very successfully for...
I personally think I'm a mark for it. Big surprise, I'm a mark. But I thought it was one of the better hotlines that Columbus had seen, just because we had such... What's the word I'm looking like? The spec ran the spectrum with the different personalities. We had John, you were on it.
That's correct.
We had Billy Jackson whenever he decided to update it. Howard. Then I had a female friend that did it, which was cool to have from a female perspective, which wasn't as big a deal back now. You know, with Twitter and Facebook, you see all kinds of females that are into wrestling, this, that, and the other, but it was cool to have a female's perspective about wrestling. And, you know, Brady, of course, he did. I think he had something on there. And, you know, we had different people here and there. And, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
It was. Even though at times it caused a lot of controversy.
Like, sometimes we get some messages from somebody.
Somebody that, yeah, apparently very late at night.
When he couldn't put down the bottle, but...
yeah.
Myself and that gentleman has squashed our differences, and he's thought about doing some things online, asked me to do it, and I'd kind of put it off, but hopefully him and I could do something like that, too. Maybe we get him to be a guest here on the show.
We could.
Your podcast.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
That would be.
Yeah.
That would be.
That's up to the man. It's his podcast.
That's right. Okay, what do you think's gone wrong with wrestling in Central Ohio? Since, you know...
It doesn't run in Central Ohio. I think that's the worst thing.
Yes, number one.
There's... I mean, granted...
I mean, but come on. We've been there. We were with FIW. We were with PWC. And you heard a lot of the different ideas that have been thrown out there by those respective individuals that ran those particular companies. Well, so where did it all go wrong?
Everybody was a mark for themselves, I think. I think they all... Instead of everybody getting along... If everybody would have meshed back then, which is what... I was shooting for, which I thought was being sold to me and my good friend Al, who had a huge part in PWC and got shat on. I think if we could have all worked together and meshed together and pulled all the resources together, I think it could have been, you know, just as big as any of the other big indies that are just as big right now. Of course, I don't really pay attention. You might want to refresh my memory on what the bigger indies are, but have a decent run and be noted where you got these guys running through the Indies across the nation. They want to make a stop in Columbus.
Yeah.
It could have been that. I mean, if you think about all the talent we had back then that was working here and working there but not working in Columbus, if everybody could have worked together, the matches you could have had, I mean, I think it could have gone above and beyond. And the guys, and I'll make this a little bit shorter here, but the guys that we had back then from Central Ohio were very talented, and they should be doing something on Monday nights. So,
well, and I think I agree with you on that. I think that there was petty arguing and whatnot between individuals. But I will say, just to go back to what you made a comment a moment ago, I think all promoters are marks for themselves. I think that goes with the personality of being a promoter. Is you have to believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're the greatest thing since sliced bread, and your product's the best that there is. Good, bad, or indifferent, that's just the way it is.
They're marks for themselves, but their business acumen, excuse my French here, sucks balls.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't want to do the step it takes to from a business standpoint. You got to spend money to make money. You got to do this, and they just never understood that. And they never grasped that. And then when you become a mark for yourself, and you're not grasping that, you're not thinking what you're doing is wrong. And then all of a sudden, you know, that horn from Price is Right hits, dun dun da dun, and it's over. And too soon for a couple different things. I just, like I said, if people could have meshed together, Columbus and Ohio in general could have been a hotbed. We could be sitting here right now and be in the hotbed of independent wrestling.
Sure, most definitely.
That's just my opinion.
Most definitely.
Anyway.
any other walks down memory lane? Any other?
Oh, I always have plenty. I'm waiting for you to throw me the softball, so there's plenty of... You know, the other day you were doing that name association. That was pretty neat.
All right, we'll go there. All right, let's go. All right. Let's go with the Southern Delight, Kyle Wright. What'd you think of Kyle?
Well, Kyle, F-I-M-M. God, he was... He was a good wrestler.
He was.
It was very easy for him to get over because of his personality and whatnot, and I definitely consider him a friend.
Yeah.
I was very lucky to make... And I think that's why I'm such a mark for Columbus Wrestling, is I was lucky to make several good friends in this crazy, whacked-out industry. And, even Kyle's moved on to the West Coast, I still consider him definitely a good friend. So.
All right, I'm going to throw another one out there. I don't know if you remember him. Sebastian Ice.
Sebastian Ice. So where'd you dig that up from? I don't remember that.
You don't remember that dude?
No.
Seriously?
Yeah, I'm serious. 100% serious.
He was one of the weirdest dudes. I think Mark Stone used him a couple times in FIW.
That makes sense.
And he was just a weird dude from Toledo.
Weird and Mark Stone go hand in hand.
He was just a weird dude. All right, how about Rip Malibu?
Oh my gosh, I think he was a pretty neat talent that I'm surprised he didn't do more.
I know.
He's a big guy.
I know.
Fun gimmick and, you know, easy to get along with. Uh-huh. Never had any issues with him.
I remember the first time when I got to FIW, and he was both the heavyweight champ and then, what, the American champion? And I go...
You gotta say, like, it's American.
American.
Because he spoke American.
I went and asked him, I go, well, could I get your stats, you know? And he's like, 237, Huntington Beach, California. Don't call me the bi champion. And I looked at him, and I'm like, I wouldn't, because that sounds stupid. He goes, good. So I don't. To this day, I don't know if that was a rib or what. But
he did wear crushed velvet tights. Maybe he wasn't ready. I'm not. If you're out there listening somewhere, Rip, and you're underneath a car and you pull yourself out from underneath it after you turn that crank, well, maybe I'm going too far with that too. But you know, whatever it is, the crushed velvet pants. Those were a very nice touch.
All right, I'm going to pull out another obscure one. How about Kufa the Flying Hawaiian?
Man, you are really pulling these ones out. This guy is a wealth of knowledge. I barely remember that guy, too. I think that was my...
The only thing that I do remember was about that guy. Great, 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 great guy. I mean, I had no problems with him. I think we used him a couple times in FIW. But I remember in the meeting when Mark Stone is standing there, and it was at that stupid, like, hotel.
Yeah, out on Reynoldsburg. Holiday Inn over there?
The Holiday Inn. Yeah. He's having a meeting. We were having a creative
Which
meeting.
Is now Grand Rapids.
Yeah, and we're all there... And I remember Matt Mason was complaining there was no food. Because he's like, I was promised food. I believe he was bitching about that. I think Marcus Dillon was bitching about it, too. But I remember he's talking about all these great things. He goes, we're going to bring in Kufa, the Flying Hawaiian. And we all start laughing. And he had no idea why. He just looked at, like, completely confused.
Not everybody knows what a queef is.
Well, apparently not Mark Stone. So...
When you walk that path of the righteous man, you kind of not you don't know that stuff. So
well, so I've been told. Does that make me a bad person because I'm an ordained minister and I know what that is?
You ordained?
Don't you see the certificate over there?
Oh yeah. My God! You can get anything on the internet. Wow.
But wait a minute. Yeah, I got ordained so I could do my buddy's wedding this weekend.
So I really wonder, there should be a paneled van out there, brown, tinted windows, or an ice cream truck. I was seeing that. Yeah, he definitely, that's John's next step, ice cream truck, deck it out.
But check it out, though, it's from the Universal Life Church. And the Universal Life Church, established in 1973, has a lot of famous ministers. Would you like me to run down the list of who's involved? Conan O'Brien's a minister.
Okay.
Johnny Carson was.
Okay.
Sammy Davis Jr. was. Hugh Hefner was. Oh, excuse me, is. Okay. Hugh Hefner is. Kevin Smith. The Honky Tonk Man is one. Enough said.
That's the reasoning why you probably got a Kevin Smith and the Honky Tonk Man being...
Of course. I was like, if I have to get ordained on the internet through some shady pseudo-church, I'm going with the one that's good enough for Kevin
Smith. Did you watch an infomercial? Hi, I'm the Honky Tonk Man, and I'm Kevin Smith. And you too can become an ordained minister. As soon as John saw that, he got engorged and signed up right away. Jeez. Let's go back to this naming stuff. That's
okay,
fun.
All right, it's fun. All right, so, Gmo, you mentioned him before. What about Gmo?
That crazy son of a bitch.
He was crazy.
He was a certifiable badass. But once again, one of those guys, nice as could be behind there. But he would go out and he would do just about anything hardcore wise to get over. He might sodomize a donkey just to get over. I don't know, but
yeah,
maybe he did. There might have been a show where he
who
did.
Knows.
Yeah,
maybe
he did wrestle Coyote a few times, so maybe he sodomized Coyote. I don't know. Whatever. Am I allowed to say sodomy on this?
You're allowed to, sure.
Okay. All right.
You're more than welcome to. That's fine. How about Wes Bitterman?
Okay, I kind of remember him, and I didn't like him, if I remember right. Wasn't was he a ring announcer, or was he a manager?
He was a manager that
Who
came
did
up
he manage?
He managed Chad to battle.
Yes, okay, yes, I remember him. Yeah, I thought his gimmick was kind of lame. I think that's probably why I didn't like him.
Okay, all right.
Maybe he had been kind of bitter.
Ha! Ha! Ha!
Sorry, no offense. Personally, this is strictly I'm talking about gimmicks. Sometimes you got to divide that line. Sometimes people, you say something about their gimmick, then you think you're talking about them personally.
How about Mace Parker? Since I mentioned him earlier,
what happened to that guy?
Believe it or not, about like 4 or 5 years ago, I saw him at a Walmart. He was working at a Walmart because I saw him, and he looked at me, and I looked at him, and I said his shoot name, and he was like, yeah, and I was like, what are you doing, man? He's like, I'm working here, blah, blah, blah. And he was living with some folks and whatnot, living with some friends, I should say.
That whole group, and I'm gonna call them the kids, because that's how a lot of the people out there will know them as the kids, and I've lost touch with several of them. Not that I touched any of them, saying kids and touched, it's kind of weird, but speaking of that, we used to say funny things on another hotline about the whole youth wrestling, but that's a whole other story. Maybe wait till Brady West comes on. Anyways, it just seemed like I was cool with all them guys, and the only one I really haven't lost touch with is Jeremy, but I hardly get to see him anymore, but all those guys, I was so cool watching them grow up, and we mentioned Kyle earlier, and just the whole run of them. And
Carlton Kaz, and
yeah,
and Aaron Andrews, there was a dude.
Craziness. But yeah, you brought up Mace Parker. Jeez. He fell off the face of the earth.
Yeah, I know.
If you're hearing this, contact us. Let us know you're around.
Yeah, and you can contact me, by the way, at PVDMVP. That's through the Twitter social media output, if you will.
Can I plug my Twitter?
You can.
You can follow me if you want. I'm a DJ nowadays. I'll go ahead and drop it over. When we were in FIW, I had made... good friends with one Drew Hansen. Him and I have gone our separate ways.
Where's he at, by the way? I'm sorry to interrupt. Whatever happened to him?
Well, let's just, he helped me get into the DJ world, and I've really enjoyed it. You can follow me on Twitter at DJ Joey Blaze. I guess he's gone on to do some other things in Chicago.
So he's not in the Central Ohio area?
From what I know. I don't know. He keeps better tabs on me than I do him, so I have no idea.
That's probably a good policy. I think that's the only person legitimately I can say that I had heat with. And it was over stupid shit.
And I think if we really want to get into it, there's a lot of heat to be had with... It was stupid. That's the heat that he has with me. It's stupid. And that's a whole other podcast for a whole different day for me.
I was
around how he looked down at John. And I stood up to him several times. Because John was my friend, but just because John didn't become a radio personality or this, that, and the other, I feel that he looked down on you.
Well, then here I can tell you exactly what the heat was. We'll go back. FIW, after the split, where Paul and Roger decided to go do their own thing. So they split. It took part of the
split.
Talent.
This split. Is big stuff.
There you go. And then that left only like 8 or 9 of us in FIW. So Mark Stone decided he's going to create a creative team. All right, so it was going to be Jeremy Madrox, myself, Drew, and Mark. Fine, okay. Shortly, maybe a month or so, Jeremy decided not to do it anymore because he said, if I'm going to start wrestling, I don't want to be booking. And I understood that, and that was okay. So that left me, Drew, and Mark. And I kept tabs, Big White. We had 14 meetings. I attended all 14. Drew showed up to 2. And Drew was pissed because his voice was never heard. Because he never came to the meetings!
Oh, I see.
He would email shit at the last minute. Mark's like, too bad, we've already got it figured out. John and I did this, did that, did this, did that. And then he would get pissed at me. And it's like, dude, I'm sorry. I apologize that I put that as a priority over whatever else you had to go going on. And that's fine.
But I have a feeling, though, he made his voice heard on a whole storyline where he got to have a match. I'm just guessing that was probably
that was one of the few. That was the second meeting he showed up to, and somehow we managed to get that approved, which I was not a big fan of. I was like, it's not believable.
The way it went down, I thought it was cool. Maybe because I was a Mark and he was my friend, and I was pulling for him. It was pretty funny though to go to that show. And I was an outcast. Like, I shouldn't have been there. Like, I was treated like this outcast, which is funny. But on that show, though, I'd like to go back to that really quick. Now we brought it up. There's some great positive points. Alex Shelley worked that show.
Yes.
And didn't Saban work that show, too?
Saban did not.
But Saban did work some shows
prior to, yes. He was gone when I got there.
It was a really good show, but it was just...
I have the VHS tape.
He does. He has a lot of VHS tapes.
And a VCR.
Some of them have the letter X on it 3 times. But so anyway, but no, going to that show, and then here's me, the outcast, and here's Dante and those guys, DDK, excuse me, Dangerous Damian Kaz, consider him a homie. Anyway, talking crap about it. Here's me sticking up for the dude. And anyways, whatever. I stuck up for him. I thought it was cool. I thought it was a cool match. In hindsight, I can see why you think it didn't make sense.
Yeah.
But it was more to mark out and yada, yada, yada. Well, whatever happened to the FIW library? Who has that?
I don't know because, okay, another fascinating story. So that show ended. That was what, Endgame? It was called FIW mm-hmm. Endgame. Okay, so...
You don't remember all the promos for it? A certain somebody took under the wing because they were on the show, so they wanted to make it look crisp.
No.
Yeah, oh, God. You can probably YouTube them. They're probably still online on YouTube.
Okay.
When you're a mark for yourself, you do stuff like that.
Anywho, so we're done with that, and literally, I was offered by Mark Stone to have the whole company. FIW, the tape library, the hotline, everything. Like, he offered it to me.
Okay.
And, at the time, I was in no financial shape to take anything over, because the hotline was in debt. Okay. It was. He told me how much it was, like $150 in the hole.
Dog, why don't you take over this debt? It's like he was giving you something. It's like, here's the keys to a car. I don't want this debt anymore. Why don't you have it? But go on.
Yeah, here's keys to this car that doesn't run, by the way.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And I owe lots of money on.
So, yeah, so he offered it
to
me.
Can I interest you in some soap? Sorry.
I actually, never mind. We'll come back to that in a minute. So yeah, he offered it to me, and I'm like, look, I said, sir, I'm, you know me, I was still green, I was still, you know, like, I've only been in the business 7 months, 6 months, or whatever, and I was like, look, sir, I appreciate it, but no thank you, I don't think I could do it, so I don't know what happened to it, but here's the weird part, fast forward a couple months to PWC's up and running, Tim Shady and I go to get something to eat at Wendy's, we were doing a show at the IBEW Hall in Reynoldsburg, and we're sitting there talking, and I confided in him about it, and his eyes got super big. He's like, oh my God, you should have told me. And I was like, why, Tim? He goes, I was trying to get the tape library. He goes, I'm serious. He goes, I created a fake email address using some poor sap that came to fix his cable left a bill, and you know how they put the technician's name on there? Yeah. And it was like, I don't know, Jimmy Smith or something. Okay. He created like JimmySmith1@yahoo.com, and he was talking to Mark Stone, trying to get him to sell him just the tape library. And he's like, man, if I'd known that, I would have had you just go, I would have fronted you the money, you could have just gotten the tape library. And I was like, I did not know. I mean, you know, because I was like, I never thought about it.
Yeah.
I never thought about it at all. Well,
it's sought after. Like, I would just like to, because that was a big part, you know, of my life. I mean, I the family. I consider everybody back then, a lot of those guys, I consider them family, you know. And like I said, I made so many friendships, and there's a lot of funny spots I would like. I mean, just so many funny either gimmicks or stuff that happened, like maybe me getting kicked in the gonads down in Crooksville.
Yeah, those kids in Crooksville, they didn't much care for you.
No, it wasn't me. I'm sorry. That was my friend, Mr. Ninja. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I always get the, yeah.
Kayfabe!
Anyway. But yeah, I was just talking to Brady about that the other day. Who has the rights to those tapes? Because that would just be really cool to have.
Do you want
to
take a road trip to Sabre Drive over in Reynoldsburg, Ohio?
I try to stay away from there. I'm not going to lie. Because as soon as I go there, I end up taking somebody out for lunch, and then it's just not a good scene. And then I get sold
hand sanitizer.
Yeah. So it's just, yeah.
This is a totally side conversation, but I hadn't thought about Maluka for a long time until my shoot job, I was down there, and I saw on the bulletin board in the teacher's lounge an ad for it. Sold by somebody I work with. And I was like, oh my god.
Did you ask them if they knew said person?
No, because that's a long, involved story. I tried to downplay my particular wrestling past with this young lady.
She hot?
Yeah.
John's ashamed to talk about his wrestling past because...
No, time out, because you know what, Jeremy Madrox agrees with me on this. That's a third date conversation. You just don't bust out with that right off the bat.
That might explain a lot of my failed relationships. Hey, baby, what's up? I used to pro wrestle. I never got that call back. I don't understand why.
See, exactly. Yeah. I've learned that, too. There was one time a girl that, a couple summers ago, that I was talking to. I hadn't even asked her out. But she, I'm not kidding, legit, the girl was an opera singer. All right, so she toured around, but was absolutely infuriated and shocked and appalled that I was involved in wrestling. And I was like, do you realize our jobs are not that different, right? I mean, you know that's really not a phantom in the opera house. It's a guy in a mask.
Who gets infuriated about that?
Maybe that was the wrong
word. Such a strong term.
That was the wrong term, yeah.
You like wrestling? You're in it?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what happened between John and Lorena Bobbitt. I don't know.
Wow.
I know. We're up to date with our humor here.
Hey, kids, you need to Wikipedia that if you're listening. First of all, if their kids listening, why are they listening to this?
That's true.
I mean, that's parenting true. Skills. Your parents are letting you listen to this
podcast.
Hey, here,
Magic Johnson had AIDS. Might as well, you know, I mean, real current with our topics.
You just saw that because I have the Magic Johnson poster over there?
I just now noticed that.
It's the greatest in the world, man.
In the studio here, which is right down the hallway from the green room, yeah, there's a nice picture of that. So let's get back on track. So we were talking, you, some guy that was named after a vaginal fart, and then go on.
Queefa. Yeah.
I did say vaginal fart.
There's
several things you could hashtag and put on Twitter from this conversation and get some funny followers, I bet.
That's it. I'm doing that so much so.
Hashtag vaginal fart.
Fart.
Throw me some more names.
Okay, we had Gmo. I threw that out. What about Aaron Andrews?
I really didn't work much with Aaron. I just knew him a little bit, but nothing. Well, here's a good one to throw out to me. Brian Blade.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because I don't remember. Knight. See, Brian Blade was gone by the time I got to FIW, I think. He may have worked a couple. I think he worked a couple shows, and then he was gone.
Good guy. Sweet mullet. Badass mullet. I mean, it was on. Like, he was like the third. Like, if the Batten Twins had a third one, probably been him. Really great mullet. So they wouldn't be the Batten Twins at that point, would they?
They'd be the Batten Twiplets.
Triplets. Anyway. So, but as far as a trainer, both Mr. Mason and Mr. Dillon worked with me before a couple shows, and I think I, and no offense to Brian Blade, I'm not trying to throw that out there, but I think I've learned more from them than I did Brian, because a simple fact, one of the training sessions, he decides to pile drive me, and I'm still very green, and he dropped me right on my head, and I thought I was dead or paralyzed. I'd lost wind, but I'm not a small guy, and he decided to try and pile drive me. I mean, you gotta learn to take bumps somehow, and I was horrible at doing a flip bump, but you can't learn that from a pile driver. Never understood that. So I wasn't a fan of his overall training, but he was a nice guy, a decent head for the industry. I mean, he's been around, but
How about Sean Casey?
Worked with him a couple shows there in FIW, yeah. Didn't we?
Yeah, we brought him and Rob the Bomb Williams up.
Jeez, you're bringing up all these guys. I really get to interact with a lot of those guys.
Yeah.
Most of my interactions were with the local fellas. But
how about CO Hustler?
That's my dude. CO, really, really good guy. I mean, that guy was always there to help me out with anything I needed help with. He was one of the guys that came over with PWC. He believed in me. And I know that sounds so lame in a professional wrestling company in Columbus, Ohio. But it meant a lot when you got somebody like him that has been around the block believed in me and to get me going with PWC. And I definitely consider him a good friend. He had a little bit of heat with Al for a couple things because I don't think about what happened with him in PWC, and I don't think he knew the whole situation with that. So I'll throw that one out there. Might as well. No, you know, I don't know who listens to this, but everybody knows Al. You know, I don't have to describe who he is. Anybody ran into it, and people wonder, well, what happened to him, and there was some heat with him. I was just telling John this in the green room. I love to say green room. And John didn't even realize this.
I was completely ignorant to this story.
Is he got fired from PWC. But he was there helping them financially. So you weren't making any money. You were giving them money, but somehow he got fired. I don't understand that. He sold his mother, who had recently passed away. Didn't sell her. She was dead. Color had rest her soul. Sweetest Japanese lady. Huge pro wrestling fan. She loved Buff Bagwell. She'd get on the phone and talk with me. She lived in Kansas. She'd all about, hey, Joe, you see Buff Bagwell? It was great. And she passed away. Big wrestling fan. She left. Didn't have anything to leave. They were poor. I'm not going to lie. And left him a ring. And I hate to put your business out there, brother, but it still irritates me this day. He sold said ring at a pawn shop to give them money to keep PWC afloat. And a couple weeks later, because of how he was trying to help us business-wise, they decided to part ways. Which was stupid, led to me leaving, and then for some reason Hustler got some sort of heat with Al about it, and I don't think he understood the full thing what happened with it, and it was really dumb. So, but no, I respect the shit out of Hustler, you know. So, anyways.
How about Shank Dorsey?
That's another guy. God, one of my favorite things of all time, I'll always remember. I walk into, I think it might have been Zanesville. We were in one of these small towns, and I walk up to Shank, and, you know, it wasn't much of a conversationalist. We had shared some jokes, whatever, and I walk up to him. He's smoking a cigarette, drinking a Mountain Dew. Like, hey, man, what's up? What you doing? He's like, training a regiment of champions as he swings his Mountain Dew and takes a hit off his cigarette. And that's one thing I always remember about Shank. Shank was another guy, great guy. See, I heard, if you're listening, Shank, I heard he's maybe one that has the, or has something to do with the
tape library?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, I don't know if he listens to it or for somebody, one of you guys out there, you know. But, you know, I will never, ever have a bad thing to say about Shank. Even if he threw me down and gave me the Dorsey horsey right now, I would probably laugh my ass off. Great guy.
How about the Munchies?
I love that tag team. That was a funny gimmick.
Sheiky and Dick Trimmins.
Yeah, I love Dick Trimmins as a gimmick. That was hilarious.
Yeah, that was.
That was very funny. Their whole gimmick with the, see, they couldn't do it now because they were giving away Twinkies.
Yeah.
See, we can be current hostess. They couldn't do Twinkies now. Wonder what they would give out. Swiss cake rolls.
Chocolate covered Oreos. Maybe. I don't know.
Demunchies, I thought was pretty funny.
All right. Okay. Good. How about Unknown and Virus?
Oh my God.
Separately or together?
Either way, I'm surprised those guys never showed up in TNA or anything like that as a regular character. Both guys we were the innovators of the 8-4-2 match which we did in PWC, and we did that cruiserweight gimmick. Which you brought up Shane Christian.
No.
Yeah, he was in that match, which, you know, is he wrestling with Little Eric now? Because they're doing that midget wrestling. I think he would fit right in with that,
I don't know.
Body like a midget and a head like a Goodyear blimp. That guy's ego is ridiculous.
Thank you. I was just going to say that, yes.
I think he has like 5 kids right now.
I mean, I don't know, man.
I don't know. Anyway, sorry I had to shoot a little bit on that guy. But he was in the match. It was a great match. 8-4-2. I think both of those guys were in it that you mentioned.
Yeah, I think so. And Jason Thunder. Jason Thunder was in it.
It came down, I think, to Jeremy, Jason Thunder, and Virus. Shane Christian and Jeremy, because we did a feud with them. And then, maybe whatever. It was a battle royal, and then a ladder match, and then 4 corners. Whatever, I forget how we did it. Anyway, I'm dumb right now.
It is the Stairway to Stardom match in OCW. We borrowed that idea, because it was a good idea. So it starts off battle royal with 8 guys, down to 4. The 4 corners match, and then 2 is the ladder match.
That's right.
There you go.
But I just remember that day just sitting and watching them do work. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Those guys flew around, all 3, you know, you mentioned Jason Thunder, too. And it's a shame that those guys, I mean, they did a lot on the indie scene. But we didn't get to see them on a Thursday night pay-per-view when TNA was doing their Thursday night pay-per-views. I thought that would have been a great fit regular basis. But.
Most definitely. And the most amazing thing, and this was the greatest thing about Unknown, was, you know, OCW, we brought him in, and we tried to push him as a heel, but the fans refused to. That was the first time that I think our booking was perplexed, because no matter who we put against him, whatever face, people didn't care. They loved that dude. Unknown. Wow. And we had to just, like Austin, we had to just, okay, he's going to be a face. Because there's no point in trying to push him as a heel, because the fans are still cheering him. I mean, it didn't matter.
The same way the reason Rey Mysterio will never be a heel.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah.
He'll never make it. It's the same type of...
Exactly. Are you sad that Paul Bearer passed away?
Oh, God.
I mean...
That hit me. I tweeted out the other night, too. I was never, and I know probably some people out there are going to give me heat, I never liked The Undertaker. Ever. Never. Just like I didn't like Hogan in the 80s. Whatever. Anyways, now they sound like the Antichrist over here. I did like Paul Bearer. I've always liked managers. I've been a mark for managers. One of my favorite DVDs is the one that WWE put out with the managers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's such a dead position on a roster now, the manager spot. And Paul Bearer, without Paul Bearer, The Undertaker would have never been The Undertaker. He would have never got over like that.
Right, exactly.
And Percival Pringle III, to me, was... I mean, he had a great head for the business. I loved it. Watched him on the... He did Global, and he did USWA, and what else?
He was not in Global. And the only reason why I know that is I just watched like one of those snippets on YouTube with him talking about the death of World Class. He did World Class, then he did USWA, and then... It was just when the Jarretts were leaving and Global was starting up that Vince called.
Okay.
So he never actually worked
Global. I thought he did Global, but I remember just watching him as Percival Pringle III. And back then, that was when managers were so key in the 80s. Yeah. I mean, even on the smaller organizations like him and Gary Hart and, you know, guys like that.
Skandar Akbar.
And then where Cornette, that's, you know, Cornette and Paulie, you know, and NWA and stuff like that. I mean, there was great managers that weren't in the WWE, then Paul Bearer was lucky to make his way into the WWE and become one of the most well-known managers of all time.
Why are managers dead?
Well, I haven't done the autopsy on Paul Bearer yet.
The whole scheme of it seems to be dead, and that is something that perplexes me.
I agree with that. I think, you know, I don't know why it's dead. I just, maybe there's just too much on the workers to get over. I mean, that's something as you're coming up now, it seems like you got to have that it factor. The reason they were so, you could put a guy that didn't have the it factor, but he had, you know, a good work, and then the manager.
Well, here's a fine example. The primetime players, okay, I thought when they had AW was good, and then they canned him, and now I don't think that team's over. I don't like that team either, and I think that they need a manager that would get them over. Epico and Primo is another one. And I know you say, well, they have Rosa, but she doesn't really do
anything.
She's
just eye candy.
She's just eye candy. Mm. They need somebody to speak to get them over, and it baffles me as to why that's a lost art form.
And they need to bring back Stables too. I mean, now that you bring up the whole manager thing, like Stables, watching Flair out there with the Miz, I'm sorry, that's goofy. I don't like how it fits. Now, watching Flair out there with Ziggler, if Miz and Ziggler, and I don't know, maybe put in a couple, maybe like Mason Ryan and maybe somebody else, and you had a stable managed by Flair. Sorry about that. I think that would be just tremendous. I think that would...
But I would like to see that stable run like the Heenan family, where they all had their own independent storylines going on. Because, see, this is one of the things... Like, I am a big Ring of Honor fan, but I don't like what they've done on the last iPay-Per-View. You have now a six-person super heel group... Scum. I don't like that. How many times have they done that? It's not worth the NWO, McMahon, Evolution. You can't have everybody in a big stable and have them in the same storyline. If you're going to do that, I think you have to do it like Heenan did and had, you know, Big John Studd was feuding with this person and Hercules was feuding with this person. And you know what I mean? It wasn't across the whole universe, so to speak.
And speaking of Heenan family, they need to vote King Kong Bundy into the Hall of Fame, darn it. Hall of Fame's coming up. He's on the Hall of Fame, correct?
Five count needs to be in there.
I mean, that was the best thing about the Heenan family. Maybe they come together once or twice a year, like at Survivor Series.
Right, yeah, right, exactly. And, it's special. Melt something when they came together.
I don't know. I hate to see the death of the manager. And speaking of that, we're doing the name association. There were several managers back then. You brought up one. Managers in Central Ohio wrestling over the years... have done a lot for the talent they're getting over, like Wimpy Watson. You know, rest in peace, Wimpy. He was great at his art. He was a really great independent manager. John Ellering, gosh, that guy was goofy as all get out, but he served his purpose, and he would get over his talents. He did a really good job at that too. Even though he's my buddy, Brady West would always do, I thought, a very decent job. And then you brought that up in one of your podcasts about...
That was my only gripe. If there was one negative I could say about Brady was that. Was sometimes I felt that you can't, as that weaselly heel, you can't
He didn't want to cower. And he had his quote-unquote no-bump clause.
Really?
No, that's what he said. He would say in the back and goof with people. But yeah, he wouldn't. But it was cool back then. It was cool in indie scene. It was cool in the Fed, quote-unquote. And it's sad that art has gone away. And I don't know, it's moved towards, you know, we get a valet, but you don't have the manager.
Right.
So.
Right, often. Often, I'd sit there, I'm puzzled why they don't have somebody like, Truth Martini is a fine example. I think he's the only one I can think of right now that does a very good job in that managerial role.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. I don't get to watch as much Ring of Honor as I like to, but no, what I've seen, though, I definitely agree with that.
Gotcha. Well, I can't think of any other names. And I know we're getting a little long in the tooth here time-wise, but...
I thought you were going to throw Big Country out there.
Well, go ahead. What about Big Country?
He's a friend, but he still owes me money.
Does he?
Yeah, it's been 13 years. He bought a belt off me. You hear this, Country, if you're out there? And he wanted to paint it up and mock it up for one of the... Like one of the... You got to walk into John's room. He's got 24 replica belts hanging in here, looking like a museum. I'm serious. He bought one of those off me, and he wanted to paint it up to make a world title. And he painted it up, but I think he still owes me like $150. Don't make me take it out on your kneecaps. I'm watching you out there. Anyway.
All right. Well, anywho. With that, I'm going to wrap up real quick by reminding a few folks about a couple of upcoming shows.
Dig it.
First one, March 16th, it's OCW, Ohio Championship Wrestling's 10th anniversary show. I can't believe it's been 10 years. I really can't.
Time's flown.
It's going to be at the Hopewell School out in Coshocton. I believe 7 o'clock is the bell time. So far, you got Jeff Cannon competing for the OCW heavyweight title against Caden Assad. The OCW
Hold on. I got to interrupt. Caden is an awesome talent.
He is.
I really, you know, I'm kind of a mark for him. I've gotten to see him work a few times. I love the gimmick. And sorry, I just had to throw that one out there. If you guys don't get a chance, if there's some just random people out there listening, make sure you get to one of the shows.
As a side note, you know what? I got to work as a manager 2 times ever, and that was with Caden Assad.
Okay.
That was in the ill-fated Pride Wrestling Alliance.
Did Pride Wrestling have anything to do with the Green Lantern we were talking about earlier? No.
Okay. No, it was not a homosexual only.
All right. Well,
sorry. It was a promotion run by Dave Lanning.
Okay.
All right. And I got. It was right down the street. Literally, it was at that Ambetz building. It was on Westerville Road. It was in, like, we were going to the V-Fro.
Yeah.
It was the other side of the street. Like, they had a tank that sit out front.
Yeah.
You remember that place? He ran a couple shows there, so I got to be a manager over there with and nice. It was great working with Caden. It was awesome.
He's definitely an interesting talent. Definitely gets good heat and works a crowd.
Yes. And he's going to be working for 20 years, apparently. Anywho.
Oh, big surprise. Jeff's going after another OCW title. Great booking there, Cannon.
Oh, come on now.
I'm just joking with him.
We also have the OCW tag team titles on the line. Juice and Joey defend against Jeremy Madrox and a partner to be named.
Ooh, that could be interesting.
My guess, the last time I had a guest was the Marquee Mikey D. He puts his OCW heritage title on the line against the Noble Blood, Lord Matthew Taylor. And there's going to be an alumni battle royal, man, with a lot of great names in there.
Do you have any names available?
I can tell you right now, the Beastmasters has already entered the battle royal.
Is he going to bring his beast with him?
I don't know.
That's where I forget one show. Was that the show where there was a rumor that I was going to be the commissioner of OCW and I was in the crowd? Do you remember that?
Yes, okay. I do. I remember
all
right. That.
We did all that. I think that might have been the show, and I'm sitting there, and I look, and he brings out, like, a petting zoo with him to the ring.
I remember the first OCW shows I worked. I rode with Marcus Dillon, and we pulled up out in Hebron. It was middle
school.
Good
old Route 79.
And there's a fucking bear in a cage in the back of a pickup truck. And we pull up, and just as calmly as could be, Marcus goes, "John, is that a bear in the back of that truck?" Yeah, I think it is, Marcus. That's really a bear, isn't it? Yes, it is. Why is there a bear? I don't know. And he brought a bear to the ring.
Marcus was a big guy back then. He might have dwarfed that bear back then. He was a thick dude.
Well, anywho.
Who else? Do we have any other names?
The Bachelor Richard Carter.
I love that gimmick, too. That was a good gimmick.
Vic Montana.
Oh, that's my buddy. Good old Vic Montana.
JoJo Little's coming back. JT Hogg will be in the Battle Royal, from what I understand.
Oh, my goodness.
So there's some big names.
There's a myriad.
And that's the new hotness, Todd Richards.
No.
Yes.
Not the new hotness.
The new hotness, Todd Richards.
The only guy whose head is bigger than Eric the Midget's. That guy said, really, it's huge.
Yeah, but he's a big dude to begin with.
You could say that.
Yeah. Anyways, OCW's 10th anniversary show, March 16th, Coshocton's 7 o'clock bell time, folks. Check out ocwrestling.net for all the information there. And then April 19th, it's the Dustin Battendorf Invitational 2, the DBI 2. It starts at 5 p.m. It's at the River Tree Christian Church in Massillon, Ohio. It's a great opportunity. It's all the proceeds are going to go to drug awareness, education, and counseling.
I'm still kind of foggy. What is that DBI? What is that? For some people that might not know exactly.
Sure. Well, it was a charity that was put together last year in June. Was the first show, June 8th, I believe, in which it was pretty successful. It was just, again, a series of different matches. It was not particularly like a tournament or anything along those lines, but just a series of matches to entertain the fans, folks coming out. Their ticket price goes straight to drug awareness education. And
was there a young man that passed away?
There was. There was a Dustin Battendorf was a gentleman who passed away in 2011 who had battled substance abuse issues for the last couple years of his life. And Juice Jennings is the man behind that. So it's a great opportunity. I wish I could be there for this year's. Unfortunately, I can't. But nonetheless, if you get a chance, check them out at Twitter @DBI_wrestling. And there's a link right there to their Facebook page. So you can check out all the information.
Yeah, definitely a good charity. If you're out there, make sure you get a chance to check that out.
Definitely. With that, I'm going to close the show as I do all the time with Orlando's faves.
Real quick, John. Sure. Can these guys follow you on Snapchat?
No, I'm not on the Snapchat. No. Are you?
No. I heard you might be on there with your ice cream truck when you get it. No. Sorry.
Why? Is Snapchat like hip with all the young kids? Is that why you would make such an insult?
I know what Bush like. Okay, anyway.
Enough.
Sorry.
Anyways, Orlando's faves. There's only one thing here before we close the show. And my favorite thing for the week, Tenacious D.
I meant to ask you about that.
I got to go see them last night, Wednesday night.
I saw that you went with another fellow OCW
alumnus
personality.
Yeah, Adam Michaels and I were rocking with the D. It was an awesome show. Like the new, I even bought the new disc. I didn't buy it in November when it dropped, but just to see Jack Black and Kyle Gass, it was epic. So there you go. All right, with that, Big White, thanks for coming by. Tell us where we can follow you again, by the way.
Once again, at DJ Joey Blaze, because that is my shoot deal. You can follow me on Twitter at DJ Joey Blaze or on Instagram at the same, at DJ Joey Blaze. I like to post pictures and whatnot. But I don't do the Snapchat. That's not that's not my repertoire.
Nor is it mine.
I know.
This is only the second time I've ever heard of it, by the way. That's a shoot. A few weeks ago I heard about it, and I'm like, what is that? It's even more shorter than Twitter, right?
I tell you, you could take a picture of your junk and stare for 15 seconds and it's gone, so you don't have to worry about... At least that's what I hear.
Anywho, anyway. Right, well, ladies and gentlemen, you can check me out at PVDMVP on Twitter, and you can shoot me an email if you like, pvdcast@mail.com. Thanks for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Big White, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
And I thank you all, and I will talk at each and every one of you later. Thanks for listening.